Hi, welcome to Caffeine and Chaos, a podcast for moms by a mom who's just taking it one day and one cup of coffee at a time. My name's Karina, I'll be your hostess, and you are listening to episode number 4. Hello, and happy Friday. Oh, guys, it's been a good week. It's been a busy week, but it's been a good week. We have officially moved in to our house here in Japan, and we're actually almost unpacked. The day we moved in, they came and brought our first shipment that we sent back in November with our real basic household goods, and all those boxes are unpacked, and we have about 4 more suitcases to unpack, and we're done. Well, done in the sense of done unpacking. Now the rest involves buying things for the house and getting those set up and then waiting for our larger shipment to come in April. So, yeah, it's been a good time. The last 2 days has definitely been 2 of the hardest days with the kids. I think just for me as a mom through this whole process, our kids have done really well. And I think now that we're moved into a new home and it's very different and we're unpacking things, they definitely know something's going on. So that's okay. They'll adjust. They've done great. They really have. So to be able to keep it together until this part of the process, I really couldn't have asked for better, honestly. So for today's episode, I wanted to do something a little bit different. Obviously, my goal in the long run is to have guests on the podcast quite frequently, but one thing I wanted to do was have my husband on the podcast once a month. He's my biggest supporter. I talked a little bit about my husband in the first episode, but I wanted to bring him on and have him just talk over some topics with me. Obviously, I've shared my heart before and that my purpose with this podcast is to be an encouragement, and I know that there are things that my husband and I have gone through and experienced that we learned a lot. And I would hope that the things that we learned could encourage someone else who's maybe going through a similar type of situation. So my goal is to bring him on here once a month. I will say this, while I may pick a topic that could be more serious, with my husband on here, it's not going to be serious. That's just his personality. It's one thing I love about him. Sometimes it drives me nuts. I won't lie. Times when I want to be serious and he wants to make a joke. But times like this, totally okay. And I appreciate it because I think it brings a new, fresh perspective and personality to the podcast.
It's not that I want to make a joke. It's I have to make a joke.
There it is.
It's in my nature.
But
I apologize for the inconvenience.
So in the first episode, I briefly introduced my husband. His name is Tyler. We've known each other for about
10 years.
10 years?
Just label it a 10 years.
10 years.
We met 10 years ago at a horse camp in California, and then we reintroduced ourselves officially when we went to college literally the next year.
Yeah.
So,
but we'll do a whole episode about how we met later on down the road, because it really is a good story.
I think it's a great story.
Yeah.
Honestly. You're welcome.
I like to call it it's like a really corny Nicholas Sparks movie, honestly. But we'll talk more about that later. That's not our topic today.
Really, there was no rain involved in this story either, so don't worry, we won't bore you with that part.
Yeah. So, as I said in the first episode, my husband is in the Marine Corps. He has been in for 6 years.
Almost 7.
And he works with radios.
Ayo.
So that's pretty much what he does. He's pretty
I'm
good at his
calm
job.
Guy.
Yeah.
I put up big antennas and I send things.
He grew up in Yuma, Arizona. So he actually grew up around military.
Airway.
His dad is retired Navy, so he has some experience with that. Growing up in a military family. And yeah, that's really all I'll say. Is there anything else that I should add?
I'm super awesome. I'm currently the tallest dude in the shop, the biggest dude in the shop. I don't know. I grew up riding horses, working on a horse ranch, working cattle out up in northern Arizona. I've done the farm life. I grew up in a family that was very musically inclined, so I ended up picking up some musical instruments along the way. I've played piano since I was the age of 5, and I'm about to be 27, so you can do the math on that one. I've also went to college to play the cello. I studied cello performance, and I minored in piano composition. It was really, really rough. Whenever I come back on, I go a little more in depth of that life. But yeah, I'm a father of 3, obviously married to Karina. Honestly, it's pretty much it. I'm a pretty simple guy, pretty relaxed. I could be a grade A jerk at some points, but you really have to drive me to that point. Or I just do it off the fly. Honestly, whatever I'm feeling depends on what I've had for breakfast that day.
That's so true.
So, that's about it, honestly. Wow, that took more than 40 minutes.
Okay, so let's jump into today's topic, which my husband has no idea what it is.
I'm scared.
So this is going to be fun. So today I wanted us to talk a little bit about how we handle differences in parenting style.
Oh my gosh.
So a lot of people who I know, and this is really cool because it wasn't like this with the parents of the kids that I grew up with. So my friends' parents didn't grow up together, didn't know each other from living in the same town. But the people who we've surrounded ourselves with now as a young married couple, they tend to have grown up in the same area, met in the town they grew up in, then the husband joined the military, and then they got married. My husband and I, though, did not know each other growing up. He was growing up in Arizona. I was growing up in Alaska. We didn't meet until the summer between junior and senior year of high school, and at that point, we knew nothing about each other. We really didn't know about each other's backgrounds until after we were engaged. Yeah, we had been friends in college, but our knowledge of each other really didn't span into how did you grow up? Where are you from? What was your family life like? So when we got married, it took us a little bit to learn all of that. And of course, we had our first child, Easton, right off the bat. So I think it was a struggle for us at first to kind of figure out a niche. And it's something we still struggle with. We haven't reached, the pinnacle of success when it comes to being on the same page with parenting. But I think especially through this moving process, a topic that we constantly talk about as a married couple is, okay, what's your view on parenting with this issue? What's your view on parenting with this issue? Why don't we agree on this? How can we agree? Working together to be a team. And I think the time that it really clicked for us that we weren't on the same page, we went to a marriage retreat back in, was it October?
I think it was October.
And the speaker was phenomenal, but he brought up the point that we as parents aren't two individuals. When you're married, you're one. We're now a team, and it's us against our kids when it comes to discipline. And it really hit me that my husband and I aren't always going to see eye to eye on every single aspect of parenting. But the one thing we do need to see eye to eye on is that we're a team and our kids need to see us as that. Mm-hmm. So if my husband tells Easton no, I need to back him up. It doesn't mean that I need to agree with him, but in the moment in front of my kids, I'm not going to argue with him because I want our kids to see mom and dad as a unified team. Hopefully that makes sense. Right. But I wanted us to chat a little bit today about how we've kind of worked through some of the struggles we've had in our parenting differences. And we'll even talk about a couple of them. And hopefully this can just be a help. I've run into a lot of young parents our age who say the same type of thing. You know, my husband and I don't see eye to eye, or we just parent differently, or, you know, I left my husband with the kids for a couple hours and I came home and then they said, well, you let us do this when dad's at work, but he wouldn't let us do it, kind of thing. And I think that that's just part of parenting, and that's how it's going to go. But I think there are certain areas that my husband and I especially have learned to just compromise or agree to disagree. And we've also had to figure out what areas were okay to compromise in and what areas weren't. And when we needed to sit down and say, okay, here's our decision and here's why we had that decision. So let's start with this. What is the number one area that we disagree with the most when it comes to parenting our kids?
So I think for me, probably the one thing that we disagree on the most is probably on how we discipline our kids. For me personally, I feel like you're more of a talker to the kids, and I'm more of an action. You know, I see them do something wrong and I stop it immediately. Remove them from the situation. Either A, get them outside, get them in the room, let them know that what they did was wrong, and, you know, let them know that, oh, I'm not going to put up with it. Which, when I see you discipline the boys, I feel like you're more of a talk to them and talk to them kind of softly, and you continually tell me that they're just babies, they don't understand. And on the other hand, you're also telling me that they're smarter than you would think, which is true. Our boys are extremely smart, and they do know what's right and what's wrong. You know, maybe not to the full extent of what you and I would know, but I know for a fact that Wyatt knows not to grab the remote controls off the TV because he's lost them, he's chewed on them, you know, he's done the baby things with them, but he's gotten in trouble enough times to know that he's not supposed to do it. And so it's gotten to the point now that when he grabs something he's not supposed to, like the remote control, I can say his name and he stops dead in his tracks and brings it to me because he knows he did something wrong. It's not like he's just wandering around aimlessly, you know, confused of why I'm telling him, you know, to come here, or telling him why, you know, telling him to put it back. You know, he's smart. You know, and Easton's just as smart. And the thing we're dealing with Easton now is he's whining over every little thing that is happening and trying to figure out how to combat his whining, you know, because it's time to go inside. No more baseball. Like today, you know, we're getting ready to do dinner. So we brought the boys and brought all the toys in. I put the toys up and he freaked out, you know, trying to figure out how to discipline that, or try to get him to understand that it's okay to not play anymore, but when I tell you to do something, you need to do it, you know? So, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. And I think that a lot of my parenting style, well, this is something we talk about quite frequently, is that, you know, there's a way that we were naturally created to be. And so moms have a very nurturing maternal instinct. And so the talking, how do I want to word this? When it comes to disciplining our kids, I haven't always been the way that I am. I loved kids growing up. I babysat all the time. I had infinite amounts of patience. And I thought that that's how it would be when I had my own kids. And I was horribly mistaken. Because you treat your own children worlds differently than you would treat somebody else's children. I'm just going to put that out there. I do my very best to show my children grace and to teach them what grace is, to teach them what forgiveness is. And I've seen a lot of my actions in my learning to be slow to anger and frustration with my children. I've seen the results of that in the lives of my children. I've seen the results of that in my two-year-old, who, as stubborn as he is, and yes, he whines and yes, he throws fits, he's quick to apologize And I think he genuinely means it. And he's also very affectionate. And I think that comes from the fact that we've really worked on the way that we discipline and we parent. And we make sure that our kids know, you know, after a consequence, we don't discipline you because we hate you. We discipline you because we love you. Mm-hmm. And we reinforce our love after there's a consequence, because we don't ever want our kids to think anything else except for that we love you and we want nothing but the best for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So I know for me, a lot of my discipline just comes from my natural instinct to nurture and to love my kids, and I don't want to be hard on them. It's really, really tough for me some days because it just breaks my heart. I don't want to discipline my kids. And other days, honestly, it's because I'm just tired. We have 3 kids under 3. I'm here all day long on my own, doing it by myself. It's exhausting. And I think that that's one concept and one area that you get really frustrated me with. You know, you walk in the door from work, and I do kind of expect, you know, in my head, it kind of clicks over like, oh, I'm not the only one here anymore. You know, I don't have to constantly be everywhere all at once watching. And I think there have been times where we've been frustrated with each other because Tyler comes home from work, he sits down on the couch, or he goes upstairs, or he does whatever. And I still feel like I'm in parenting mode. But in the back of my mind, something says he's here too, and he's a parent too, and he can help. Or not even help. I hate using that phrase. Dads don't help. They parent. Mm-hmm. It's their job. Dads don't help. Moms don't help. You parent. That's what you do. But I think just finding that balance, you know, when he comes in the door and I tell him, you know, hey, it's been a really rough day. The kids have had a rough day. But he still sees me disciplining how I naturally discipline, which is that loving and nurturing talking. Yes, firm. And I do get firmer. But I think there are times where I kind of, after a long day, expect my husband, when he walks in the door and I say, it's been a really long day, and I'm correcting Easton for what is could be the 15th time that day, and he just stares at me and tells me, well, you're not hard enough on him. Okay, hang on. You haven't been here all day. Hold the phone. And so I know for us that that's been a point of disagreement and contention.
That's the word that I like to use.
That we've had to overcome, and we're still overcoming it.
Yeah, we absolutely are. I honestly, like, you know, after, you know, me, you know, being at work all day and, like, I'm dealing with that side of nonsense or whatever, you know, and I come home, and the first thing I notice is, like, you know, there'd be times, like, you're just kind of sitting on the couch, and or you're sitting in a chair and not engaging or whatever it is. You know, no, I don't know what's happened through the day, but I feel like, let me backtrack. You know, before, you know, we had 3 kids, we would have an agreement that when I would come home, instead of going straight into all the nonsense, you know, if we had the time to do it, that I would get about 30 minutes of, like, decompression, just kind of, like, blow work off. And it was a lot easier to do in Lejeune because I would let everybody leave the shop. I would change over, you know, from out of my uniform into, you know, some jeans and a t-shirt, you know, get in my truck, you know, kind of work my way back home. It was about 15-minute drive. And that felt more of a decompression. So I didn't need to, like, come right into the game. You know, I didn't have to come right home and immediately, you know, run upstairs and just kind of hide from society. It was a lot easier for us, to work that way. But then again, we didn't have 2 toddlers who are learning and grabbing and touching and screaming and hollering. Nor did we have our daughter, who is completely and utterly dependent on you. So I think for us, the adjustment now of how my shop runs now versus the one back in the States is going to be a lot different for us. And how we actually progress. And you know, it is a little difficult for me kind of coming into the house and all of a sudden like just seeing you sitting down or just looking at me like I need help, and I'm just like, whoa, get over it. Like like it's my initial nature, especially coming off work. And I'm not saying it's right, but what I'm saying is like that's just where my head's at when I come home. And it's, you know, again, it's not right, but it's just where my head's at, unfortunately.
Right. And then that goes into for you finding a healthy home work balance. And for me as your wife, helping you to achieve that healthy homework balance. I know when we were first married, one thing we really, when Easton was little, before Wyatt was born, one thing we really had to reiterate in our house was, we are not your Marines.
That was a huge problem for me.
Yeah. And when you walk in the door, I'm your wife. These are your children. You don't have to yell at us like you would yell at a Marine. You don't have to be as hard on us as you would be on a Marine. Like, we're a family unit and we function differently than your unit at work.
It took me a long time to really figure that out. I'm not going to lie. It took me a hot minute to figure that out because I've been yelling at Marines all day. At the stage that I'm at now, when I say something, I expect it to be done immediately, you know, and if it's not done to my liking or not done to what is required, for me to pass up to hire, like I get mad, and I'm allowed to get mad at my job, and I'm allowed to get into people, and I'm allowed to yell, and I'm allowed to just be the big, bad, gruffy sergeant that everybody, you know, that you see in the movies. Like, I'm allowed to be that all the time, but it was really difficult for me to come home and to kind of break out of that habit, you know, because I'm, you know, 100% Marine 100% of the time. So for me to come home and just to blast my wife and to yell at my kids just because they weren't doing what I told them to do, I really had to sit back and realize, like, my kid's, like, two. Like, you know, and he doesn't understand it. I could give him a bunch of nonsense off the top of my head, and you know, I could yell at him all I want, but at the end of the day, he's just going to be scared of me. He's not going to listen to me. He's actually going to shut down. And I noticed this a lot more. And I've noticed this a lot more, you know, from the move and actually being around my family every single day. It's one thing to be on leave. It's one thing to actually be with your family 100% of the time. And not really having anywhere to go, and like, this is what I've got in front of me, you know, there's not really an outlet for me anywhere else. So, you know, I think that was a huge issue that we had when we first got married, when we first started having kids, was I wasn't able to shut it off when I came through the door, which was a major, you know, contesting issue with you and I, big time.
Yeah. Okay, so second question would be,
no more questions.
another thing that I'm going to reference this marriage retreat that we went to a lot, just because it was so good. I wish it was longer than the 1.5 days that it was, because it was so good. But one thing that the speaker addressed was, when you get married, you leave and cleave. So my husband and I were married, we're now one, and while we still have a relationship with our parents, our relationship with them looks very, very different than it did before we were married. Okay. But one thing he did talk about was our parents' parenting styles. And for us, I know I came from a home with a very different parenting style than my husband did. And so that's another thing that we've battled, is we came into parenting with a perception of what a family should look like and how a family should function based off of how we grew up. And the thing that this speaker talked about was, that's not necessarily wrong, but view it this way. You've left your parents and you're cleaving to your spouse. This is new. This is fresh. This is not the family you grew up in. So instead of expecting it to be the family that you grew up in, you need to take the legacy that your family left and pass it on to your children and create something new for your family that works for you and your spouse together. Because what worked for my parents in parenting and what worked for Tyler's parents in parenting does not work for the two of us. We tried that probably for the first year of parenting, and it was really rough. We were constantly at each other. because the way that we grew up, while our homes had the same biblical foundation, how the home looked was completely different. For me, I grew up in a home. My mom was home all the time. She homeschooled us on and off, but we went to school. I loved going to school. I did not want to be homeschooled. We were somewhat involved in extracurriculars, but not overly involved. Honestly, our involvement in extracurriculars was mostly things my parents were involved in, which was great. Growing up, because we had really awesome opportunities. My dad was gone 5 months out of the year working. And so the winter time, he was home all the time. And a big part of our school life and of our life during the winter, I actually have very fond memories of our family going on vacation every single October. And that was kind of our opportunity to put our family back together after being apart for so long. And so I brought the perspective into our marriage of, I had a dad who was gone a lot. I understood as a child what it was like to have a dad who was gone. And even though it happened every summer in the month of May without fail, there was probably 10, 11 years in a row. It was really emotionally hard for me when my dad would leave. His job is incredible, but it wasn't always safe. And so there were a lot of fears that I had as a child, and just embracing those. And so I remember, you know, growing up and not having him around. And so I brought in the perspective of, whenever my dad was home, his family came first. No matter how tired he was or how worn out he was, he came first. And I'm not saying that my husband doesn't put his family first. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that that's the perspective and the household that I grew up in. Mom was there all the time. Kids were involved in extracurricular activities because of mom and dad. Our life revolved around church quite a bit and just being a family when we had the opportunity to be a family.
Oh, my turn. Okay. sorry. I'm over here on Amazon scrolling through looking at jeans. Sorry, that's my bad. Again, it was a little bit different for me because growing up, my father, you know, once he retired out of the Navy, he was basically given a job as an electrical engineer for a company called JOL Enterprises. And during this time, he went from being an, you know, my dad was an officer, so he went from leading people to running a whole company. So he never really switched off the Navy mentality, the officer mentality. He was very demanding. He expected things to be done the way he wanted them to be done, which is fine because, again, he could, you know, he had the scare of times to, like, lose his license as a professional engineer. You know, so he wasn't just going to, you know, take, you know, some, you know, crack shot, you know, job. So when it came to the household, he was spent. Like, he was done with the day. So my dad was engaged, but he engaged in a completely different way. And my wife understands this now. Like, her father is very engaged, very into things. When he's busy, but when he's free, he's free. And he will do whatever you want him to do, whatever he wants to do. Like, he's all about it. When he's with the grandkids, he's with my kids, he's not dealing with, you know, any business or work or talking to my mother-in-law about something, he's very involved with everything that's going on around him. My dad, on the other hand, is perfectly okay with sitting in front of the television and watching a sports game and having odds and ends conversations. But I think with my dad being a grandfather, it's changed a little bit. But growing up, my dad, it was not uncommon for us to come home. My dad would come home way later than he said he was going to be because something came up at work. And then we would end up kicking on the television on Fox Sports Arizona, watching a Diamondbacks baseball game, Phoenix Suns, Phoenix Coyotes, like, whatever it is. You know, and that was the thing. That was the family thing. I will say this about my dad. Unless my dad was out of town for some business, I don't think he ever missed a single sports game I ever had.
That's awesome.
So I can think of maybe a few tournaments type deal. Just a really, really long day, you know, and, you know, he didn't want to be out there. No, I mean, towards the end of the day, nobody wanted to be out there. We were just tired. We were in the mode of like, you know, if we lose, we can go home type deal. But, you know, but that is what it is. But my father would definitely just... I don't think he ever missed a game. You know, he was at every single, just about every single concert we ever had. You know, he was there. He was supportive in his own way. You know, he wasn't the, you know, Hollywood, you know, perfect dad, but he was definitely a father that I'm grateful to have. And the type of counsel and the type of discussions that my dad and I have had, later now, I can see why he was as hard as he was on me, when I was in, you know, junior high and high school, you know, cause at the time I hated my father. He and I butted heads big time. You know, I became taller than my dad at the age of 14 and I just kept growing from there. So, mm-hmm. You know, it was a very difficult time for me being the humble yet passive aggressive man that I am. Wow, you didn't even laugh. That was a joke. Like, holy cow.
Sorry.
No, but like just me being me, my dad, who he is, like he was very demanding. I, on the other hand, was just sick of his crap, if you will. I was, but now that I look back and I'm older now and now I'm a father, I'm like, oh, wow, that makes sense. Okay, cool. So, you know, I don't know. The difference between your dad and my dad is just miles away from each other. Miles away from each other. So...
Okay, so the third aspect, I don't know, is that the right word? Third point. That I wanted to cover to kind of tie everything up is we've talked a little bit about we have a difference in parenting styles. I'm the more nurturing, motherly, gentle one, I guess. I have my moments, but, and my husband is definitely the more firm leadership role, as it should be in the house. But a lot of that just comes from our family background, how we were raised and the differences in that. Mm-hmm. And us learning as a couple to take, rather than taking the style of family we grew up in, taking the legacy of that and creating a new family lifestyle, still using the same biblical foundation for us that we choose to follow for our family that our parents had for us. And so kind of working into that, you know, we talked about how our lives were different, but the things that we appreciated about that. For Tyler, his dad being present, despite his really demanding job, which was all the time. And for me, my dad making time for us, despite the fact that he worked nonstop 5 months out of the year and then was home in the winter, is a very different lifestyle. So now... we kind of look at it with, you know, where do we go from here? This is, parenting styles are something that are constantly changing. And of course, we're constantly being bombarded with the opinion of everybody else. As a mom, you know, they have those t-shirts for your kids that say, my mom doesn't want your opinion. 89% of the time that t-shirt's true. And it's hilarious. That shirt's funny to me. I would never put my child in that shirt because I wouldn't ever want to hurt anybody's feelings, honestly. I feel like it would. But I think we live in a society where everybody just feels so entitled to give their opinion. And I think some people really give their opinion out of the goodness of their heart and just being kind. And I really do feel that way. But as a mom, I've learned, especially with other friends, don't give your opinion unless they ask for it because they probably don't want it. But, you know, we live in a society where nobody can be right. I was reading something today and someone literally wrote about parenting. It was a friend, her husband's deployed, and she was writing about how no matter what I do, I'm wrong. Everybody says I'm wrong. I'm parenting wrong. I'm not feeding my kid the right things and so on and so forth. And it really hit me, like when it comes to my husband and I, trying to work together as a team to be effective, to build a legacy for our kids, no matter what we do, someone's always going to think that we're wrong. But that's okay. Because we're doing what we feel is best for our family. But it's not our job to go look at someone else's family and say, well, you're not doing it like us, so you're wrong. That's not how it works. So I think coming into this last point, what is one thing that you would tell a new parent if they asked for it? A new parent, or maybe, you know, a friend who came to you and just said, you know, my wife and I just can't see eye to eye on how we parent our kids. What's one piece of advice that you would take away from what we as a couple have learned about parenting, and as we continue to learn together, acknowledging that this is a never-ending learning process? There's so many things in marriage and in parenting that you learn and you move on, and that's just how it is. But I think that parenting together and combining your parenting style and making it work for your family is something that will never stop, because it's going to change every time. Today, I was looking at our kids. I was looking at Easton, who's going to be 3 in just a couple weeks here. And I was thinking to myself, in just the last 2 weeks, he has changed and grown so much. And our parenting is about to be totally different with him. And looking at Wyatt over the last 2 weeks, I really started to look at him and think, oh my gosh, you're not a baby anymore. You are a full-blown toddler. Like, he really has grown up over the last couple of weeks. And just thinking to myself, my parenting is about to drastically change with you, because they're growing up, their personalities are changing, who they are as a person is changing. So what is a piece of advice if someone came to you and said, this is an issue my wife and I are having, what's one simple, to the point, concise, but hopefully encouraging piece of advice that you would give them?
You are not your own. You are not your parents. I think that's probably the biggest thing that people always say, you know, back in the day, be like, well, my father did this or my mother did this and that worked out just, I turned out just fine, so I could do it right back. No, like, you have to understand the way that your parents parented and the way that my parents parented were two totally opposite ways of parenting. So when we had our kids and we came together as a married couple and we started a family, our ways that we expected to raise our household was on two separate ends of the spectrum. So I would say, you are not your parents. You are your own parents now. You are the parents, okay? They are the grandparents. And, you know, a lot of times couples, married couples who have kids, they end up catching a lot of advice from mom and dad. And I would definitely say, you know, thank you. We take care, you know, you and I have talked about this. Thank you for your advice. And, we thank you for caring enough to talk to us about it. But, you know, we'll take it into consideration, and that's okay to say that. Another thing is so what? Like, so what? It's not working. If there was the perfect parenting book out there, there'd only be one book on the shelf. But yeah, there's hundreds and hundreds of books out there that single people have wrote, married people have wrote, like, you know, people who, you know, who've never actually had a relationship in their entire lives, but they went to school and got a doctor's degree on how to raise children.
My favorite are the ones who write parenting books but don't have kids.
Those are
the best.
Those are the great. Those are the greatest ones. You know, it's okay to get it wrong. It's okay to mess up as a parent, all right? Because just like your kids right now, they're going to mess up and you're going to mess up. Like, I have done some parenting stuff that I am not proud of, mm-hmm. that I have yelled a little too hard. I've been a little too harsh on the boys to the point to where Easton was like scared of me for an entire day, because he did some stuff and I just lost my mind and I went full drill instructor on him and I just yelled at him. But I honestly would say, you know, pick your parent styles and stick together as a team. Figure out what the strengths are. Forget the weaknesses. Figure out the strengths of your spouse, you know, whether it be wife or husband, and really build each other up. Our biggest strength that we have, I think of now, is that we back each other up big time, because it would be a mommy, 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 I want this. Mom says no. And then Easton comes running to me asking for something. And I say no because I've heard you say no. Mm-hmm. Or Easton comes to me and I say no, and he goes straight to you, you know, and you know, you'll hear me from the other room. Like, I told him no, I told him to wait, I told him to be patient, you know, whatever, wait till dinner, you know, no, we're going to bed, we're not playing outside anymore, type deal. So I guess three things for anybody who's having parental issues is: you are not your parents, you figure out your own parenting skills. Two is the advice you get from your parents, take it in consideration, but discuss it with your spouse. And three, I forgot it. Brain just I just shut down in my brain. Wow, what was that third one? Holy cow. Well, you have to rewind a few minutes to figure it out. Holy cow, that's gonna bug me to death. Oh, you and your wife are a team. Sorry, you and your spouse are a team. All right, remember those three things. I can't remember it. So, you know, we're gonna go work on our marriage and our here after this podcast. Holy cow.
Yeah, and I'll just add this on there: communicating with your spouse when it comes to parenting is really important. If your spouse throughout the day does something, you know, disciplines a certain way, I don't know, anything when it comes to parenting, and you're sitting there thinking, I didn't like that, I can't get on board with this, don't disagree with them in front of your kids. Don't.
Yeah.
Because what your kids are automatically going to see is you and your spouse in contention against each other, and they're going to take that as an opportunity to get what they want. Mm-hmm. One thing we've started doing is before bed at night, we sit and, I don't know, maybe 15, 30 minutes, really depending on how tired we are, we just talk about the day.
Yeah.
And I've had to learn it is okay to tell my husband, I did not agree with what you did today.
Yeah.
And here's why. And it really opens up the opportunity to, number one, you're not going to get into an argument in the heat of the moment. Because especially if it's a moment where your child needs to be disciplined and dad or mom disciplines in a way that the other spouse doesn't think is okay for that situation, it's just going to ramp things up. You're just going to fight about it, and that's going to cause a whole nother world of problems. It gives you the opportunity to have a conversation as adults.
Yeah, there's always time at the end of the day to talk about it.
Yeah, and then find a solution and push through it and learn from it instead. Mm-hmm. So that would be my biggest piece of advice is communicate with your spouse and don't be afraid to do it. There was a time in our marriage where I was really afraid to open my mouth and say, I didn't like what you did and I didn't agree with it. Because I was afraid what was going to happen was my husband was going to be upset with me. And my personality, I hate people being upset with me. I am the world's most paranoid person. Someone could not even have a problem with me. And in the back of my mind, if I see them in the grocery store and I wave at them and they just didn't happen to see me, but they didn't wave back, I think they're upset with me.
I also was not a very likable person in the first year of our marriage. I was going through a lot of stress at work, and I just kind of took it out on whatever pissed me off that day. Like, that kind of came down to it. So the times where my wife actually would try to talk to me, like, I would just fly off the handle because I just didn't want to deal with it. That was 100%. I just did not want to deal with the argument or the conversation. So I just flew off. So
communicate.
Coming from a communications guy in the Marine Corps and from a woman who's got a bachelor's degree in communication, our communication is god awful. it is awful beyond all recognition. But it, again, this is the beauty of marriage. It's month after month, day after day. We're always learning something. We're always learning how to work better together. We're learning how to talk to each other. It's one thing just to talk to one another. It's another thing to actually have a conversation with the other person. So that's one thing that I feel like we're doing a little bit better. I feel like it can only go up from here, honestly. Like,
it's true. It only can. All right. Well, that's all we got for today. Yeah, it was. Thanks for being on the podcast.
You're absolutely welcome.
So with that said, if you have any topic suggestions or recommendations or even questions for us, you can feel free to reach out to me through Facebook, through the Facebook page, Caffeine and Chaos. You can also find me on Instagram, Caffeine and Chaos 3, or I have an email now, caffeineandchaos3@gmail.com. That will be posted up on the blog and on the Facebook page. So if you'd like to reach out I had also posted today looking for topic recommendations, things that you guys want to hear talked about on the podcast, whether it would be a long podcast or a short podcast, or even people who you would like to see be guests on the podcast.
And from me, here in a couple weeks, I'm going to be starting my own podcast. Again, I don't have a name for it yet. I have a lot of ideas, but not a subject title. So if you want to, either on her blog, email, go ahead and just put a couple names. Just think of some crazy guy names that you'd have for a podcast.
From every inch of me, please give him name suggestions, because the ones he have are terrible.
I think they're pretty good. Time off talk. I felt like that was a good one. This wasn't bad.
Nah.
This has been Sesame Street. See you next time.
All right. Well, with all of that, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to reach out to us and give us some topic suggestions.
Thanks, guys.
And we will talk to y'all next time.
Later.